Hello everyone, Dr. Julie here, and you are listening to my Coffee Chats podcast. I am a health researcher, PhD trained, and chef, self-trained, on a mission to leave the next generation and our planet a lot more of a healthier place. This is your space to ask questions on topics that no one seems to want to discuss, with information that is backed by research, along with a good dose of practical advice. Real talk, real people, real answers. Let's get into this week's episode. In this week's episode, we have a where to start focus, and that's because we've got three great caller questions that all begin with where to start. So we're going to cover where to start with mindful eating, where to start with cutting down on sugar, and where to start with finding yourself. Let's get into it. So, caller question number one, mindful eating. I know that it's important, and I know you've mentioned it several times, but if I'm honest, I have no clue where to start, and it seems quite overwhelming. And do you know what? Dear caller, it really is overwhelming. And so firstly, I acknowledge you for being really vulnerable with this question, because in my experience of working with so many women in particular when it comes to eating, so much of it brings up, well, what I call psychological factors, well beyond what should I eat, counting calories, which I know you guys know that I don't agree with, but beyond sort of the mechanics of eating, so to speak. And for many of you listening, the idea of actually tuning into your body's needs is foreign. We weren't brought up doing that. We have very little skills or understanding, let alone practice of that. And so you want to start from a place of pure compassion, that because of that upbringing and because it's really new, you're not going to have it all sorted. And it's also going to take some time. So starting slowly is a good place, not trying to do it all day, every meal choice, because it is going to get overwhelming. Mindful eating, just to explain what that is very much paying purposeful attention to your food. And this is not just in terms of what you're eating, but the whole sensory experience of eating. When it comes to mindful eating, there are a number of areas where we want to apply it. So this is around hunger. This is around when we're actually eating. How does the food make us feel? How do we experience the food? And then afterwards as well. One of the great places that I would guide one-on-one clients to start with is to tune into some of that inner dialogue. And an activity that I find really helpful is just for a day, every meal or every time you put food or drink into your mouth, so not water, but even coffee, have the goal to leave a little bit of that on your plate or in the bowl or in a cup, and just see what comes up for you. So I think starting with, are you hungry or not hungry? That's almost a more advanced step. So where we're starting is around some of that inner dialogue that may come up. And it's a practical activity to get you tuned in. And if you've got people that you are doing life with, let them know that this is what you're doing, and have a journal and actually jot it down. It doesn't matter whether you succeed in achieving the actually leaving something on your plate. That's not the point of the activity. The point is to notice what comes up and to give you a structure to start with that. Where that's going to be helpful is when we are eating, practicing going, am I full? Am I eating because it's on my plate? Has this meal satisfied me? But starting here is a really good place. And I never think it hurts to go back to it too, because there's always new layers to this for us as well. But start there, and if you do it, let me know how you go. And if you're able to share some of the things that came up for you, I would love to know. That's a good place to start. While my book, The Nourished Bump, is about pregnancy and preparing your body to conceive, I actually have a good section in there on mindful eating, and that is available in Kindle as well. So, second caller question was where to start with reducing sugar. We all know that reducing sugar is going to be advantageous to our health. This is metabolically, this is in terms of releasing that strong dopamine and pleasure reward sense. This is in terms of so many high sugar foods or empty calories. I mean, the list is endless. I don't think the importance of reducing sugar, I need to bang on about it. But you're right, where to actually start? The research is quite clear that going cold turkey and trying to cut out all sugar is not recommended. And that's because of that strong dopamine response, where sugar specifically plays on the part of the brain that releases dopamine. And it does become adaptive, which means to get the same release of dopamine does make you feel good. And yes, release, it literally is the same release as with other things like sex or illicit drugs, and it very much plays on that pleasure and reward part, which means you're going to need more to get that same release of dopamine and to get that pleasurable effect. So going cold turkey is going to almost put you into a state of withdrawal, which is not going to be sustainable long term. And it's also not going to put the focus on, well, what are some other things that you can be doing or eating to begin with. And one of the reasons why I don't like scales is because it doesn't have the focus on what we want to. So when we just go with cutting out sugar, we're going to that very restrictive mindset as opposed to what are we going to add in. It is a catch-22 situation though, because we do want to be able to slowly drop down our sugar intake to release some of that dopamine pull. And it is possible. And even if you don't have a lot of sugar, but you are still wanting to reduce it for the health benefits, I think that's okay too. You know, we're often made to feel wrong for being quote unquote too healthy. And, you know, you do you, you know, you do you. For example, and this is to also give you hope that it is possible, the chocolate that I eat is 95% chocolate. Now, if I was to eat like a normal chocolate, even like a 70%, it would feel too sweet for me. I know, because I've tried and I actually can't consume it. The level of sugar that hits my mouth is a sensory overload. And so that actually shows you, if you're sort of listening to this going, oh my gosh, like that wouldn't be the response for me, it actually shows you how strong that pull is. And this is not about judgment, and don't judge yourself on that. Catch the mean girl voice as I'm talking about this. The companies pay food scientists a lot of money to create that bliss point, which is the perfect amount of sugar in particular, but also sugar, fat, and salt, to leave you just not quite satisfied and wanting more, and for that optimal release of dopamine. It is not about willpower. So where to start? Firstly, I always think knowledge is power. So understanding the volumes of sugar that you have in certain foods is helpful. So there are over 50 different names for sugar as well. Remember, you're not just looking at sugar in the ingredients list. Now, in my sugar reduction guide, which is only $15 and it's a downloadable PDF, I actually have a whole table of the 50 names of sugar, and it's quite good to have them in your repertoire. And also, if there's something on an ingredients list that you don't know what it is, just put it into Google. It's going to guide you quite well. So having a look at where your hidden sugars are is going to be helpful. So again, I've got a big list of them in that sugar guide, but you know, your big culprits are going to be things like cereals, sauces, dressings, muesli bars, and yogurts. So these are not the things that we would go, oh, well, they're high sugary foods, you know, like cookies, for example. These are things that are kind of often advertised as healthy. And, you know, one of the reasons I created my slow cooker mixes and spice mixes is because those are packed full of sugar. I've done reels and TikToks on them. So start there. Knowledge is power, because then you can make an easy switch, right? Without changing the world. You can easily switch a sauce, for example. You can easily switch a slow cooker mix to something that doesn't have sugar in. Even if they're not mine, I'm not offended. I just want you guys to be as healthy as possible. The next thing that I would suggest, I'm just going to give you three things just to start with. The next thing that I would suggest is to add a protein source. So rather than thinking of cutting out sugar, think of add protein. Have a source of protein every time that you eat, or even just have a day. If that seems too overwhelming, have a day where you do that, and then have 2 days where you do that. And notice, again, go back to that mindful eating. Notice how you are feeling afterwards. So have a biscuit or 2 biscuits, but have a handful of nuts beside you. What that's going to do is it's going to slow down that glucose release, which is going to help to slow down that direct impact on your bloodstream and kind of stop that big crash, which is only going to want you to make something sugary to bring it back up again. And it's going to give you some satiety. Plus, it's going to be installing a really good habit as you go. Protein and fat tend to come hand in hand, so you're going to be naturally getting a little bit of extra calories. And again, you're not coming from that place of deprivation, because you're still getting your cookie or 2 cookies. You're just adding something alongside it. And eventually that will drop down to 1 cookie and then some nuts alongside it. And then you're already having the nuts, so then you can swap the cookie out to something else. But you're not depriving. Plus, it's a good question, how to add protein as opposed to what am I taking away? And my third place to start will be breakfast. Definitely look at the cereals that you might be having, because a huge amount of them has sugar. I mean, Fruit Loops, not suggesting that you're having Fruit Loops, but I mean, that's got over 40% sugar. It's just like half of it is just sugar. And you might also like to have a listen to my Weet-Bix sort of deal-o, and I've got that on a blog on my website as well. But starting with breakfast, and again, rather than thinking of cutting out sugar, thinking of where can I add high protein, high fat to my breakfast, it's going to stop that blood sugar roller coaster from the beginning. Cravings, which we will often notice at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock or even after dinner, are created, so to speak, in the morning as opposed to at that time. And they're called cravings because your body is literally craving the energy that it didn't get. When you're constantly on that roller coaster, it's actually because your body's not getting the energy that it needs, as opposed to too much energy. Definitely in not a sustainable way. And we know that sugar is the least amount of sustainability when it comes to energy release. It's sure, it's fast, it's sharp. Sure, in high level sport, it may have its place, but that's not what we're talking about here. So those are some places to start. As I said, you might find my sugar reduction guide really helpful. I've got some great recipes in that too. And our third caller question, oh, this was a real goodie. Julie, I noticed in your podcast when you were talking about your experience with the food industry that you were not going to lose yourself again, and that you had fought really hard to find yourself. And I hope you don't mind me talking about that or asking about that, because I feel really lost and I don't know who I am, especially after having kids. And I've been out of the workforce for quite some time. I don't know who I am. I don't know where to start. And I feel almost silly for asking this, but hopefully you can help. Ah, beautiful, beautiful caller. Please do not feel silly at all for asking this. And I guess my disclaimer with that is that while, yes, I've done a lot of work to find myself, I think it really, truly is our lifelong journey to find out who we are. And there's just endless, endless layers to that. I certainly don't have it all figured out, but there are some parts of me which I do. I feel that I have found myself, or re-found myself, I guess, after trying to navigate the world and constantly feeling like I don't fit in. And speaking of fitting in, this is just kind of where I want the context to be. And beautiful, Brené Brown says this so well. There is a difference between belonging and fitting in. You know, fitting in is squashing and squeezing and reducing ourselves to fit somewhere. Belonging, totally different. And you need to belong to you and you first. And that's why I also thought this question was so valid, because we've talked a lot about friendship on this podcast, and a lot of you have messaged in about those episodes too. And, you know, what I will say is that when you get to know yourself and find yourself and even date yourself, it's gonna create a beautiful space for friendship to come from, because of that connection at the level of belonging, as opposed to trying to mold yourself somewhere to fit in. And, you know, potentially for some of you, even as I say this, your inner child will be kind of just needing a bit of love because of things that happened in your childhood with your friendship groups and school. So some places to start if you're wanting to look at this journey. I am really clear on what my personal values are. And many, many years ago, when I was 24, I embarked on a year-long leadership program. This was after doing Outward Bound for 3 weeks, which was a course that completely and utterly changed my life. I wasn't in a good place. And that kind of leapfrogged me into doing this year-long development course, leadership course. And as part of that course, I got clear on my 4 personal values, and they're actually tattooed down my back. That was my second tattoo that I got. Obviously, my whole back's been done, but the first was Outward Bound's motto across my lower back, and then the second was these values. And these values are leadership, integrity, possibility, and courage. And I go back to them all the time, and the reason I got them inked right down my spine was so that it would be a backbone for me. And, you know, there's something that I've gone back to and evaluated post that experience with not getting the food contract, because that's what values are. They are there to fall back on for you to reassess at times when you're tested and you're pushed or you're lost. And I just think it's a great place to start. And don't worry about getting it right. They're your values. You don't have to share them with anyone. This is probably the first time I've ever really publicly shared what my 4 values are. They're for you and you alone, and to help guide your next steps. And then what I would suggest is have a think and make a list, or in your journal, of things that you like. You're not necessarily going to do this all at once. Maybe just have like a couple of pages of things that you like and you can add to them. I think it's a great place to start. And then I would also put things that you don't like, because sometimes they come hand in hand. For example, I mean, I don't just like coffee. I love coffee, but I don't like drinking, and I don't like drinking orientated activities. If I never drank alcohol again, I would be okay. I do, but just not a lot. And that's something that I don't like. And so, you know, if I got asked to go to something that was where there was heavy drinking involved, it would be a really easy no for me. I'm not going to change who I am in order to fit in. And if it's not going to be an experience that I will enjoy because of the heavy drinking, I just don't need to go. There might be some parts physically that you like that become part of your self-expression. I like black nails. I posted our old TikTok that I had done, and I had pink nails in them, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't had pink nails for like 2 years. Where are those? You know, I like black nails. I get the same all the time. I'm okay with that. I like tattoos. I have a lot of them. I like getting them done. You know, I like reading. I don't like TV, and I don't watch a lot of it. I don't watch a lot of Netflix. I don't even watch a lot of movies. I'm okay with that. There might be some things that, like locations that you like going to. Do you like going to the beach? Do you like going tramping? Do you like going travel? Like, start there. And as I said, at the same time, also kind of have that list of things that you don't like, because some of those may come in opposite. And I think that there's going to be like layers to this as well. And once you start going down this journey, you know, and potentially this will be a topic for another podcast, because, you know, there's areas like, what do you like sexually? Do you even like sex? What part of this do you not like? I can almost hear you guys nodding and going, oh, please, can we talk about this more. Start simple, start with whatever comes to mind. And don't be afraid to date yourself. Try some activities on your own. I will save this for another episode, but one time when I was in Melbourne, I took myself on a date, and it was one of the most empowering things that I have ever done for myself. And we're not encouraged to do this. But how do you know you're not going to like something unless you do it? And, you know, if that seems overwhelming, going to a movie on your own. We worry so much about the social side to that, but actually there's a whole journey of self-discovery involved in that. And, you know, what if you don't like it? Well, then you're not under pressure. You are completely free to go or free to leave. And that's probably the only other thing that I would want to leave with you, is that start to be aware of places or things that you do which are not you, that you kind of feel like you have to stay and you can leave, and practice leaving. I remember going to this talk, and I won't say who the speaker's name was. I was really looking forward to going to see them. They had an incredible reputation, and I thought that they would be amazing. And I went there, and after the first 10 minutes, I was like, oh my gosh, I do not like this at all. This, what they were talking about and the kind of humor that they were using, none of it sat well with me. And I kind of stayed for another 5 minutes, and then I was like, do you know what? I'm not going to sit here any longer. And it was in this big auditorium full of people. And I did. I just got up and left. I did it subtly. I didn't make a big song and dance about it. I didn't even say why to anyone. I actually just got up and left and didn't feel that I needed to stay. No one was forcing me to stay. I didn't want to listen to something that I didn't agree with or that wasn't landing with me. And the more that you do this, the more that it will help you, A, to get practice at that, but B, to be really sure of yourself. And again, go back to that difference between fitting in and belonging somewhere. And again, if you do some of these things that I've suggested, let me know. If there's been some parts that I've mentioned that you want me to delve into further or talk about more. As I said, there is no end to this. And sometimes in sharing our journey or what we have done to date, there is like an equal kind of receiving in that, you know. Even being asked this question, you made me sort of go back and think about some of these things in these areas and, you know, some of the work that I have done and also some of the work that's still there for me to do as well, like for me personally. So great question. And as I said, hope that's given you just some ideas. Oh, so where to start? We have covered where to start with mindful eating. Have a go at leaving something on your plate. We have covered where to start cutting down sugar. Keep it simple. Go back to those three key areas that were three top suggestions that I mentioned. So look at where your hidden sugars are. Arm yourself with knowledge in that. Add some protein and start with breakfast. And then where to start with finding yourself? I mean, I've obviously mentioned journaling, so get yourself a journal, think about your values, think about what things you like, you don't like, and then some activities that you might want to do beyond that. And so much love to all of you taking on these things, even listening to this podcast. Don't underestimate that in itself is an action. Love you guys, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. I just want to do a shout out to our incredible sponsor, 06 Coffee. As you all know, I am coffee obsessed, and 06 is a local New Zealand company, also very waste conscious. Coffee does not ask questions, coffee understands, and coffee gives you 5 minutes peace in the chaos, which I really hope you get today. Please use the code 1506 for 15% off. That's it for this week's episode. If you do have a question, please drop it into the contact page of my website or a DM on Instagram. Everything from food, well-being, business, motherhood, and life questions are answered here. I do really hope you get in a peaceful cup of coffee or at least take some time to yourself today. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date and make sure you don't miss an episode. Until next week, with love, Dr. Julie.